to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns.
What are they going to say?
No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, North Bay Stacks and Jacks. That's about it. Just from Matt Weber on the board. Also, Mr. Lou Michaels. Another 4.3 million workers are expected to be filed jobless claims today. S&P futures down a buck and a quarter. NASDAQ futures down 950. Dow futures down 39. Just as a way of review, since every day is a wild day these days. Yesterday, we bounced back from our 3 days of down. The Dow was up 456. S&P up 62, NASDAQ up 232, so I'm going to say better than a Fibonacci return, actually almost exactly a Fibonacci return. We're down 85, we're come back 62, so well, it's more like 75% rather than 62% or whatever Fibonacci is. Lou, are you a Fibonacci guy?
No, I don't like Italian food.
God. So how are you? I continue to, as the more this goes on, Lou, the more I look at the difference in the leadership styles of our various dictators, and I look here and I say the target same store sales rose more than 77% so far in the first quarter, and I'm stunned of all the furniture and clothing stores that are closed, and yet Target seems to sell whatever they damn well please, as does Costco, as does Walmart, at least in the Chicago area. Now, Michigan, evidently the governor there, who nobody likes, she at least made the Walmarts and places tape off those areas of the stores so they didn't get that kind of advantage on other people.
That's stupid. Let me just start with your initial comment, your initial point. We have had the luxury in this country for decades, even after 9/11, without having to have the competence of our elected officials, challenged by something that requires real thought and real expertise. We just haven't had those kinds of problems. We've been able to elect people who are not particularly competent, on the assumption that the bureaucracy would just carry them along, and they're not exposed. And now with this election, we see just how widely variable the intelligence and competence of our elected officials and the people around them really is, especially at the local levels. And so you have, for example, the sheriff in Wisconsin who arrests or threatens to arrest a family because they put something up on Instagram that upset school officials in that local district. I mean, you have the governor of Michigan prohibiting the sale of garden implements and seeds and paint, and forcing stores to wall off and tape off, their non-essential areas, whoever, whatever that means. I mean, I'm not comfortable with an elected official telling me what's essential and what's not.
Well, Lou, you can't let the Costco sell hot dogs when they close the hot dog stand next door.
Why?
Well, why close? I guess you can do either one. You can't, put this way, either leave them both open or close them both. You can't have one open and one not.
I disagree with that.
Right.
And that's the kind of intrusion into an economic decision that I'm not comfortable with. And she's a disaster.
So you think it's better that big boxes always win?
You see the kind of martinet impulses that are coming out of people. And quite frankly, I'm very thankful that we got people who are willing to go stand up on the steps of state government and say, you guys are going too far here. this is ridiculous. We're not all in New York City or Chicago. Let's get back to some kind of reasonable restriction on movement and distancing.
See how it is, how difficult it is to agree with you? I'm trying to agree with you. how am I doing with that?
I don't know, but I love my favorite story out of this whole this tremendous overreach is the response to Bill de Blasio in New York City, who set up a system whereby citizens could snitch on their fellow citizens by sending phone camera shots of people being too close to each other or doing inappropriate, things, walking together on trails or in the parks or not maintaining an appropriate distance. And his website, or the site that they provided for you to send those pictures, was flooded with pictures giving him the finger and various genitalia, which I thought was just hilarious.
There's a book that hopefully one of the listeners can advise me, educate me, edumacate me, as my grandmother used to say. Some guy in Chicago, I believe it's Chicago, Lou, wrote a book on Nazi Germany and how it got from where it was to being essentially the closed state that it became very quickly. And he basically said it was regular citizens doing exactly what you said, that most of the Gestapo came from the police force.
Oh, the title of the book, I've read it twice, is called Hitler's Willing Executioners.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? Okay. Thank you. Because you don't normally find, obviously, I'm not going to say anything horrible. My dad was a policeman. The thought of police deciding you have too few rights and want to give you more is just sort of not common, though. But what you mentioned, it's funny, you and I come at things from a different direction. I think that a lot of the issues with the people making these decisions, you can't have people, first of all, I disagree totally with you that big box stores should be open selling everything when other people are closed. What gives those guys the green light everywhere? They win all the time, Lou. Why shouldn't I?
I don't want the government picking winners and losers.
Well, that's right.
If you want to engage in this kind of a shutdown operation, where you are going to close commerce for an extended period of time, the idea that you have to tinker with it at such a level, I think, is crazy. Then set up something in your state to provide relief to the small stores that are being affected by the shutdown.
Well, I mean, Lee,
do not tinker with the sales in individual stores of individual products. That's nuts.
Well,
that's Soviet planning.
All right. Well, even you considers way too many ways. Why can't I? If you and I had a Blue Jean furniture store, what do we need? One stack of canned goods to now qualify for the whole store being open?
I don't worry about that. I mean, that's a consequence of the state's intervention and shutting down stores willy-nilly in as part of this, what I consider to be an overly broad effort. Now, in some places it makes perfect sense. New York City, Chicago, you want to shut down that level of commerce. But the fact that you have to engage in an evil does not mean that you need more evil. I mean, this is the classic domino theory state intervention.
Why are we always talking on different levels? I'm saying, what are you doing shutting the Macy's down when everything that you can buy at Macy's, you can buy at Walmart? And they're open.
I mean, I'm sorry for Macy. They can apply for a loan, but, this is the way it's rolling out for this particular crisis. And the fact that we can't equalize it for everybody does not mean that we should intrude further into these marketplace decisions.
Lou, every time something like this happens, and this happens to be the worst, every time the big boxes and the Amazons somehow come out smelling like a rose and other people don't, that's got to stop.
I don't care about that. There's, in my opinion, a much bigger principle at stake here, and that is this level of government intrusion, where you've got a sitting governor, an elected official, telling people you can't buy garden seeds because I've deemed that's non-essential.
Well,
you got to be kidding me.
Your friend Lori Lightfoot evidently got shut down. Maddie, if you dig this up, I'd get this whole scoop. She went before the city council and was asking for more powers under an emergency act. They told her no.
Of course she is. This is where this goes. This is more power. We need more. You know, this is what I'm seeing here is, you know, an authoritarian push. And quite frankly, it's coming mostly from Democratic states and Democratic governors, but an authoritarian push in which, and I mean, you've never been in the military, and Maddie has never been in the military, but this is classic, you know, command overreach. When you have somebody says, okay, I want this to happen, and then not everybody does it. So the immediate reaction of an authoritarian is to say, you know what? We're going to ratchet this down. And eventually what you end up doing is setting up a system of control that addresses or that is aimed at the absolute lowest common denominator. And one of the most frustrating things about being in the military, at least it was for me, is that the regulations that were put in place and the rules that were put in place were aimed at people who were so dumb that they could not or so unwilling to conform that they screwed it up for everybody else. There's no reason, and I absolutely reject any idea that a democratically elected society or leadership in this kind of a situation has to do that. Well, we're getting snippets of martial law here, Chief.
I think guys
who are walking don't by take themselves this, on a beach.
Don't take this wrong, okay? And I wouldn't want to put you through what I've been through the last 3 weeks. Talking to people, you know, and I'll say it on here, mostly female. They have absolutely scared bleepless the society to the point where everybody agrees with them, Lou. Everybody. I agree with what you just said, by the way. But you know what? You and I, that's two of us. That's two of us that I know.
Well,
Carl, maybe.
You know,
Kevin,
not,
too.
Again.
But other than that, the only people this is the first time I think I've ever got any of the contributors on this show to agree with me on anything. I'm telling you what, you talk to some people, and every one of them, it's like guns, Lou. Everybody sets the bar from who should have a gun slightly below them, right?
Of course.
Yeah, So what I'm saying, if you ask any of the ladies I was with last weekend, hey, what's going on here? I mean, we got this place shut. They should be shut. I shouldn't have to. If somebody next to me is coughing, I should be able to call the police and have him either put a mask on or send him home. You can do what? No, you get to go home if you think it's too dangerous outside. No, that's not the way it's going to be going forward. You get to tell people what to do. You tell people where to stand and how close they can be. I go, that's not my America.
The idea that the Democratic governor of Wisconsin, and I'm picking Midwestern examples because of where you guys are located, the Democratic governor of Wisconsin blocking peaceful assembly, trying to make it illegal in the state capitol. And I'm going, come on, man, what are you doing?
Well, this is the point, Lou. I get nobody to agree with me. Maybe you, which is the hatest. That would be the worst thing ever if you came on here and actually agreed with me for a whole hour.
No, we agree every now and then.
Once in a while. The difference is, I say, in the OEX pit, some days it was a germophile pool, you know. Every cough and every day. It's up to me, Lou, to decide what are my risks and to not go. And not go in or whatever. But the thought of telling, but now everybody's absolutely, this is totally flipped. You get to tell other people. Kevin was talking the same way you are yesterday. I said, Kevin, I want you to listen to Jay Pritzker's news conference from Sunday. He had four, they just happened to meet him. Who knows, the guys might have felt the same way. He had four or five women on the air. I couldn't tell who the hell they were. Because I was on radio. You know they're not sitting 6 feet apart. They're all sitting there, but they're not going to tell everybody else. We're talking about it's going to be a crime now to be seen less than 6 feet apart. These women are grilling him about, why aren't you making everybody wear a face mask? And he goes, well, I don't think I really need to do that. We've got people 6 feet apart. These things are starting to turn. People are using common sense. No, you need to tell somebody. What if somebody is next to me? And he's like, what do you want me to do? You know, no, it was other governors are done. You need to do it. You need to be on the cutting edge of this. I'm like, Lou, you wouldn't want to be that guy out there taking this abuse from these people. And yet they're sitting an inch apart. It's okay. It's okay for them. It's okay for everybody. When one of his friends tells me that nobody should be able to cough, I said, you smoke cigarettes. You cough all the time. That's different. That's a smoker's cough. No, it's not. If you're next to me, I don't know what it is. It could be TB, for God's sake. Do I get to send you home? No, you don't, because the smoker. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing, I'm just going to come back to something I know something, actually know something about, which is disability issues. So when the Americans with Disabilities Act rolled out, we had a wave of perfume cases. You may remember them.
Yep.
The sense in the workplace cases, where we had a rollout of people who suddenly started screaming that they were disabled and entitled to workplace accommodation because they were sensitive to scents. And what you saw, or what I saw, was this crazy mentality that said, you know what, I may be a lowly secretary or a lowly administrative assistant in this office, but if I tell people I'm sensitive to perfume, I can control what people wear. I can people accommodate me. I can bend them to my preferences. And this stuff rolls out all the time. And this is the same kind of thing you're seeing. I listened to another podcast, a commentary podcast. I know that'll be horrifying to you guys if there are other podcasts that I listen to, but where one of the commentators was talking about the fact that he was on the phone walking on the street in New York City where there was like nobody else around him, talking on the phone, and some guy came up and started yelling at him. And he said some freelance lunatic who wanders the streets of New York starts yelling at him, where's your mask, where's your mask, where's your mask, over and over again. And the narrator's comment was, I realized that this guy had been at the bottom of the social food chain for years, but all of a sudden now he's got something he can jump on.
Right.
And they're going to take. So imagine somebody with that mentality now elected with elected power, or worse yet, in a police uniform, and which of course is one of the themes of A Clockwork Orange, that that's what you end up with in the cops. You end up with criminals and these kinds of folks as police, but in a police uniform, and making these kinds of snap dictations. And maybe this is my libertarian side coming out, but I am really happy to see that there are people walking around, standing up, being as irritating as possible to the control freaks, and saying, you know what, we're not gonna do this.
What I'm saying, 80% of the people in the country this morning are in agreement with all the spacing and all the other stuff. Luke,
I don't have a problem with the guidelines. What I have a problem with is if you're walking alone on a beach, and you know that a governor closes the beaches entirely and says nobody can go out there, instead of saying, you know what, we're going to ask that you not congregate together in large groups because of the infection danger. And if we see you jammed together, we're going to tell you to break it up and separate out a little bit. They're not doing that.
That would be the intelligent thing to do.
Again, we go to the lowest common denominator. All right, fine. If people can't stand apart, you know, a couple of times, as I see it, I'm banning everybody from there. We saw that here in Denver. The mayor was out driving around one Sunday afternoon and looked over in the park and saw a bunch of people walking around in the park, not being, in his opinion, not being sufficiently distancing. His immediate reaction was not to say, hey, listen, I need you guys to stand apart. His reaction was, I'm closing all the parks.
And send them home to where you're close, and send you home to where you're closer together.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to jam everybody together. I mean, it's, and so people see, this is, the other thing I think that's happening is you're seeing people in places like rural Illinois or outside of Denver and Colorado Springs, you're seeing people look at New York and watching people walk, pictures of people walking through Central Park where they are reasonably close, not on top of each other, and saying, why can't I do that? Or they're seeing people in the subways and saying, well, yeah, that's why they've got a problem, or that's part of the reason they've got a problem. We don't have to do that. We're not on top of each other like that. But so much of our guidelines are being driven by what's happening in cities, and a different portion of the country says, no, we don't have to do that.
Well, yes,
we object to being told that.
If you read, well, of course, I got nothing to do at home except clean up the place, and so I'm pacing myself on that, because the last thing I want to do is finish everything. I have nothing to do tomorrow. Then what do I do?
You can come over to my place. We don't have a shortage of household projects.
All right. Well, the more you read, I'm trying to read every sign of this thing. It is absolutely fascinating, Lou, how when the disease first got here, I was telling Maddie on the way in.
I hear there go the cops on their way to arrest some luckless person on the Lakeshore Drive trail.
Well, they're going to arrest Tom Brady running sprints in an empty park.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So you've got some people weren't all asleep on this, and whoever these disease guys are out on the West Coast, they knew they had a problem in Wuhan before anybody else recognized it here, right? So the minute somebody was found with the disease, and then they thought person one in Seattle that had come from Wuhan, they immediately sprung into action and figured out who else was on the plane, who did this and that, who did everything else, and they traced this person to the nursing home. They pretty much got on everybody, I think it was a she, every place she had been and all the people she had come in contact with, and really felt that they had stopped the thing. And because there was like several hundred people, and they pretty much got every one of them, you know, isolated, and not all of them got it, of course, but some of them did, because this thing travels pretty fast, no doubt about that. And then all of a sudden, it's breaking out all over the rest of the place, and now they're thinking that that wasn't the first person, that they somehow missed somebody.
Well, it turns out that they had at least two people they believe in California who died with the disease or from it at least a month earlier.
Well, they think now that the reason why they missed person one is person one might have flown into British Columbia and then entered from there. Might even have been an American citizen who just got a cheaper flight to British Columbia, or maybe had to go there first. So, but the rapidity with which, and now they've got, and this is the interesting part, Lou, is they've got, I don't know how many thousand proteins are on this little strand of RNA, which is this virus, right? Well, they said the thing is mutating very slowly, and any of the mutations, you'd never know if you got it. It's pretty much the same. It's exactly the same disease. But they said it's got mutations on protein like 550, 10,000, 20,000. So they can name out of like how many thousand proteins are on the damn thing, the four of them that are different. In this particular one that came from Wuhan to that area, they've traced it to L.A., to the Midwest, Chicago, New York, everywhere. But the lion's share of the stuff that's in New York made its way there through Europe. And that,
yeah, exactly. And, yeah, from Italy.
But it's really fascinating. And there's several things come out of this. When you read all these different articles, and, of course, you and Kevin are more on who wrote them and if they're sleazebags or not than I am, because I don't know these people, but I just try and pick out the articles that seem to have the facts and some gem of knowledge that you'll find in one and not another. And it seems to me that there's a litany of things that appear to be purely factual about this virus and actually dangerous. One is when people first have it, before they know they have it, they are amazingly, they're not as infectious as measles, but way worse than like the common cold. So it's bad. And it affects people amazingly differently. But then again, Lou, if you look at the common cold, which it is a cousin of, a coronavirus, I know people have a common cold give you, that's their common cold. Other people have a fever. Other people get lung problems that it's 3 months later you swear they have TB. These diseases hit everybody differently, and they always have. And so does this one. Some people it kills, the person right next to them that has it, they don't even know they have it, or minor thing. So
goes to a point that I had made last week, I think, or we had talked about. That first of all, everybody that tells you they understand what's happening or all these projections are frequently wrong.
Yep.
They may be based on the information we have at this time, but they're frequently wrong. That's number one. Number two, I am starting to get more concerned about the long-term health effects of this thing than I am about the deaths that are occurring as a result right now.
Are you talking mental and physical?
For example, are you familiar with the fact that a significant number of people are developing lesions on their toes and feet as a result of this disease? And nobody knows why.
A lot of blood clots, too.
Well, That's what I mean. So there are long-term implications for whatever this stuff is doing to your hemoglobin and blood work that we don't know about, and that may be actually worse than the initial wave of fatalities that we're seeing with this thing. The last thing is this. Given, again, that we don't have a cure and we don't have a vaccine, I don't think you can point to anybody that is, you know, in terms of fatalities anyway, I don't think we can point to people that have died or are going to pass away from this disease in the sense of this is the result of our delay in reacting to this. In other words, we're not going to stop the spread of the disease throughout our country. We're slowing it down, and we can slow it down. But eventually, it's so contagious, and it's so embedded in the population. And when, as you noted, you're asymptomatic, you're at your most contagious, we're not going to stop this.
It's okay. The same thing. As much as I hate to ever give up on anything, Lou. Let's figure out more about this after break. SP Futures up a whole 25 cents. NASDAQ Futures up 350. It's after a nice move up yesterday, after three lousy days. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice.
At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Matt Weber. We also have Mr. Lou Michaels. S&P futures up a buck. Chuck, NASDAQ futures up 8.25. Oil, which is obviously the biggest news lately, pretty much up at $2 and something across the board. Again, we should do this in the morning now just so people don't keep... I love it when my people call, but not to say they want to buy $11 oil, because the June contract is now $14.23. July 2083, and if it spins up to January's 3019. So if you want to buy next year's oil, you can't just buy the June unless you got a place to put it or a ship to put it or someplace. If you want to buy next year's oil, you got to pay 30, so you're not getting anywhere. Anyway, we'll go into that more again someday, but maybe we'll do it later when David's on. But clearly, 1423 is a June contract because people are still not trusting the delivery system, nor should they, after what happened this week with the May contract. Around the rest of the world, we've got over in Europe, the DAX down 10 points, 0.1%. FTSE down 2 points, call that flat. Kick around up 15.3. This is quite a change from the last 3 days, at least so far. Nikkei up 291, 1.5%. Shanghai down 5, call that flat. Hang Seng up 83.3%. Bonds, 30-year bond 0.62. The Bund minus 0.41. Japan, flat, 0.0000. So that, again, like I said, oil was up, the June contract up $1.67, now $15.45. We got gold up another $16, $17.54. I'm chasing my GDX contract. We had to roll it twice yesterday, and we're still chasing. Silver up 31 cents, $15.65. Although it's good that it's up. Everybody we have is long, so it's a good thing. Maddie, what do you got for us for Heavy Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No accidents or delays to speak of. Not on Lakeshore Drive, not on any of the expressways, nor on the tollways or even side streets. So everyone behaving themselves, plus light traffic volumes, of course, as it's been for the last several weeks. I, of course, will let you know if that should change, but a great start to the morning if you are driving in today. Weather today, it's going to be a bit warmer than yesterday. At least it's going to feel warmer because it won't be quite as blustery and windy. But we still have some rain on and off in the forecast, a high of 53. Right now it is overcast and 47 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, a hot one. Sunshine with a high of 98 today. Right now it's clear and 65. In sports, the NFL draft kicks off tonight. Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock at number one. They're expected to take Joe Burrow, the star quarterback out of LSU. The Bears do not have a first-round pick. They'll draft in the second round tomorrow, as they have the 43rd and 50th picks of the second round. The Arizona Cardinals do have a first-round pick, but they don't have any second-round picks. So the Cardinals will draft tonight from the number eight slot.
Maddie, it has to be a new record. How many hours of TV and radio and sports TV and radio with nothing else to talk about have talked about the 43rd pick?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, in general,
this is genius. This is genius by the NFL, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. In general, between the Bulls' Last Dance documentary and the NFL draft, there's obviously been nothing else to talk about. So it's trying to fill 24 hours a day. You basically have two topics.
Hey, I have a question for you, since you are a sports maven. I was
Chief. Let me yeah. just. I want to see if Maddie can find this article and link it out. But Quillette has published an article talking about super spreader events and the Wuhan flu.
Yeah, I've read
that. I would urge the listeners to link to that and read it. It's really fascinating.
It's scary,
but it has
isn't
to do with so-called super spreaders, or super spreader events, which were events that seemed to cause a huge blow-up of Wuhan virus cases. It's a fascinating read, and it will go directly to a lot of what you and I were just talking about.
Do they focus?
There's a lot of articles about this. Which one specifically are you talking about? Who wrote it?
It's called COVID. This is Super Spreader Events in 28 Countries. It's a Quillette article.
Got it.
Well, the one here that I sent out to everybody maybe 10 days ago, Lou, had to do with the Biogen IDEC conference in Boston. Is that in there?
This conference is mentioned there, but it also covers a number of religious revivals in places like Pakistan and France, as well as incredibly stupid stuff happening with people at parties and things like that. It's a very interesting analysis. Anyway, it goes right to what you and I were talking about earlier.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely. I have just a question for you because you're.
What was your sports question?
Well, yeah, the sports question was I'm watching this thing with Michael Jordan, well, The Last Dance, not just about Michael Jordan. And they have all this commentary from news people at the time. Can you just use that, or do you have to pay if it's Channel 7 News that where they were talking about the Bulls just drafted the young, this Michael Jordan, and then they show it. But it essentially was like the Channel 7 news feed from 1985 or 4 or whatever the hell it was. And do you just get to use that, or do you have to get permission? Or
you have to get permission. You don't typically have to pay, but okay. You do have to get permission. And then at the end, they'll always thank all of those news sources at the end, like ABC 7.
But if you're Bruce Roberts or somebody doing it, you don't get paid, right? Because that's just part of...
Right, it's property of ABC 7,
right.
not you.
Okay, fair enough.
Some of it's used with permission. Some of it, if it's been put out without copyright protection or without protection, if it's in the public domain, you don't need permission. But usually they get permission.
Okay.
By the way, that documentary is really good, and I'm of the opinion that having watched Jordan personally in college, and then seen him play a couple of times when he was at the height of his powers in the 90s, I'm convinced he's the best basketball player I've ever heard of, in terms of what he could do on a court. And perhaps more importantly, what he did with other people on the court. And I realize, we could talk about Chamberlain, or you could talk about Russell or LeBron or Kobe. But Jordan, what I saw it's almost indescribable, but when I saw him play in college against Duke, I remember sitting in the Duke student section, watching him on the court, and the joke at that time was the only person that could hold Michael Jordan to under 20 points a game was Dean Smith, his coach,
right?
Because we were just watching him, and it became so apparent that there was nobody on the floor that was anywhere near what this kid could do, athletically or just the way he saw the court. The way he moved the ball around, the way he defended people, it was so impressive. And remember at the time, I had watched, Sampson and Mark Price and Perkins and Worthy, and I'd seen Bird play. I mean, I had seen some really good basketball at the collegiate level. This guy was way above that. And then, of course, when he got to the NBA, it was interesting. The difference to me in the NBA seemed even more pronounced than it was in college, and maybe that was because he refined what he was doing, or his intensity ratcheted up once he got to the NBA. But I can't think of another player where I saw that, where you saw collegiate level performance that was sky high and unbelievable to watch, and then when they stepped up into the pros, that difference got even more pronounced. But that's what I thought I was seeing.
Well, I would absolutely agree. He was amazingly unselfish enough to. There were guys that had some kind of talent like that, but somehow lost it Jordan really didn't care he never did. But I'm not saying never, but if he only scored 10 points and you won, were other guys like who was the human highlight film, Manny? That was his name. The guy played for Atlanta.
Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of flashy ways, some of these guys, I would say that I didn't get to watch that much of him. The old timers will tell you the only guy that was on the same planet was Oscar.
Yeah.
When he was just, he was a little bigger.
He didn't play defense like Jordan, though, at all.
No, he didn't.
But he was also on a you know, I'm saying a lot
Jordan
of
was first team all defense as well. That's what made him so different.
Well, but what I'm saying is you're talking about rarefied air. I mean, Wilt was a guy. I mean, even the other night, I was watching something and the ball got caught on the top of the backboard. And Walton's doing the game and he goes, "Where's Wilt? He's the only guy that could get that one down," or something like that. Well, so, yeah.
The point that I think I can make with Jordan is that, you know, you see a lot of at the pro level, and you see this in other levels too, but especially at the pro level, you know, there are a lot of games, they're playing a lot of games, they get to know people really well, and there's a tendency on the part of professional athletes to play up to the level of the opposition. So if you're playing against a really good player, you know, people are expected to up their games. Well, the flip side of that is when you're not playing against a great player, your level will drop because you don't need to exert the same amount of concentration and effort and intensity against a lesser person. Jordan did not play that way. With Jordan, what I saw anyway was, and my father made this comment to me, you know, the pro coach, his comment I think was something to the effect that he didn't like basketball. His comment to the effect was something like, that guy is playing, and it doesn't matter whether it's a five-year-old in front of him or it's an NBA forward in front of him, he's going at it with the same level of intensity. That's really unusual.
But you all pace everybody in any kind of sport, even if, put it this way, my own, if you play softball one day a week, you're all fired up to play, okay? If you play 6 days a week, there's times in the first inning where you're like, you know, even if you really like it, but you could see the Bulls as they aged, they were, all of a sudden they were hanging there the first half and they blow you out in the third quarter. They paced themselves and he did too. Not, you know, he still was, but I mean, as a coach, you want him on your team because he's the first guy wanting to run more sprints. So yep. you didn't have to, if you don't have the star coming along with you as a coach, you got a real problem. And they never had that.
This goes back to something that I characterize, you know, you have various color collars in the employment law. You've got white collar, you've got blue collar, you've got pink collar, you've got whatever. Jordan struck me, and James does too, by the way, as what you refer to as a gold collar employee. And I've talked about this on the show before. A gold collar employee is someone you can put into any workplace situation and they instantly raise the game of everybody around them because they're smart and they're motivated and they're thoughtful and they think about the job. And Jordan struck me like that as a basketball player. It didn't matter who he was playing with. It didn't matter where he was playing. You put him onto the court and instantly everybody gets better. And by the way, you know who else did that? And this is really interesting. If you look at the stats, Shane Battier, of all people, was one of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the New York Times article about him from, whatever, 20 years ago, when the metrics were just coming in, and they started to realize that the Houston team was using it. They started to realize that every time Battier stepped on the floor, the defensive production of the entire team went up by like 2 or 3 points over a comparable level of time. They got that much better. Jordan was that way all the time and on both ends of the floor.
But they, you know, when you look at what happens as people's career goes on, I mean, Matty's right. He was a terrific defensive player. But when he came back, sneakily, he didn't guard their best guy anymore. He was like their...
He would in stretches, but yeah, not the whole game. You would conserve energy.
But I mean, you do when you go...
What I think is weird is, you know, was Wilt just lazy or like, how come he didn't win at all? Like, he won two titles in 14 years, but for as dominant as you would think he would be, like, he really didn't have any near the level of success as the other all-time greats, like Kareem and Jordan and, you know, guys like that, Bird, Magic, that won a bunch of titles and were really dominant.
You had Boston Celtics were the best team. Right,
I think
they were, but over a 14-year period, when Wilt is so much bigger and stronger and better than everyone else,
Bill Russell was almost as big,
nearly as dominant. I mean, but Russell was a great defensive player.
But all Russell had to do is keep Wilt on the planet, and the rest of the team won. The only time Wilt won, he won in L.A., but he also won with supposedly the best team ever together, and they only lasted together a year. It was Chet Walker?
I'm just going to say, and I don't know enough about Chamberlain personally, but my take is that he was so good that he really did not have to work very hard, and the intensity level for him, I mean, he enjoyed the good life. The intensity level for him was not nearly the same as it was for Jordan or Kobe or even Russell. That's just my take from what little I know about him.
I mean, Russell had...
A big knock on Shaq was, yeah.
Exactly.
Kobe used to get so mad at Shaq because Shaq was so dominant, but he just didn't care. Like, he was lazy. He didn't work out in the off season. He didn't try that hard, but he was just so physically dominant over everyone else. But then he still won at least four titles, and, you know, I mean,
yeah, granted, but your titles are... learn, if you're not born with that, if the ability is so great, your ability is so great that you are effortlessly beating people all the way through high school. If you haven't learned that intensity by then, it's a hard thing to pick up later on. And I know my father used to talk about working with his players to get them to understand that what they needed to do was throw that switch. Once they stepped into the pros, they needed to throw that intensity switch so that it was on every time they stepped onto the field. And some guys can do it, and some guys don't or won't.
Yeah, but you don't get to choose your competition. I mean, you could be all world. And then Oscar was the best player, you know, like I say, of his generation probably, except for maybe Wilt or Russell. He was on Cincinnati. Even Wendell, he was an old man playing for the Bucks when he
won one title. The only reason I bring that up, I never would bring that up in any other sport, but in basketball, it is the one sport where if you're the best player in the league,
yes,
you should win a lot of titles in your time. I mean, that's what happens in every era. It's the one sport that one great player and you pair him with a couple of other good players and you should be winning titles.
There were big differences, Manny, and I know you're going to say, you know, this is an old guy talking. Huge differences when there were 16 teams and when there were 32.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, there's 30, but that 30. Makes sense.
Solution of the product.
But I mean, you had
your spread. It's not quite as spread out, and so more teams have more great players. I get.
Well,
that.
Yeah. Plus, you could back when there were centers. There's always been five or six dominant, huge men. Doesn't matter if you have 30 teams, 10 teams, or 500 teams. There's five or six. But now a lot of teams have. The game has changed enough that that's not as important. But you had. Wilt, you had who was the guy that came to the Bulls? We had Walt Bellamy, you had Nate Thurman, you had Bill Russell, you had a couple other guys, you know, and Johnny Kerr. He played against, I mean, how many nights in a row did he play? How many games in a year against Nate Thurman, Russell, and Wilt? It was like 40 games,
yeah,
including playoffs. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, it's not better or worse, it's just different. Plus, people in those years had nagging injuries. I watched Mickey Mantle at a home run late in his career. Today, the man would not have played. He's running the bases after a home run. He looked like he needed a knee tomorrow.
Yeah, he always had that limp. Kevin writes in on Twitter, MJ's fundamentals separated him from other star players. Didn't matter what move he made or where he was relative to the basket. By the time he released his shots, his shoulders were square to the basket. His elbow was under the ball in the same place every time. And he always had perfect follow-through on his shooting motion. Lots of guys make moves, but few complete the moves with the most basic fundamentals perfectly executed every time.
But I'm also going to put a lot of truth to that.
I think that's correct. And, again, I look at this documentary, and I think of it in the same way that I think of McPhee's book about Bradley, and I've talked about this on the air. A sense of where you are, and I mean, this generation. This is what you're seeing on the television. Is this generation's version of McPhee's book, which talked about Bradley and how thoughtful and smart he was, and careful he was as a player. You're seeing that same kind of thing. It's just coming out in video because, as we all know, people under the age of 40 don't want to read books.
But I was really
watching. Books. Hey, real quick, Chief. Can I throw one more comment about The Last Dance?
So, yeah.
I read an article, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but we'll tweet it out. Really interesting how, you know, no one's asking, like, how did they get this footage, and why did the team let them do this back in 1997-98? And essentially, everyone was trying to go to Jordan and Phil and Jerry and say, you know, hey, this is probably Michael Jordan's last year. We need to document this because it's so historic, because he's really changed, you know, the league and really the world of sports and marketing and everything. And Reinsdorf said, well, if you can get Phil to and Michael to buy in, then fine. I'll approve that access. And of course, Phil was like, well, if you can get Michael to buy in, knowing that Michael would say no, then I'm fine with it. And Michael, of course, said no. Well, they kept trying to convince him. And finally, they said, okay, I tell you what, let us do it for the whole year, and we will give you the rights to it. So you can determine if it's ever released. And so Jordan thought about it and said, okay, fine. So they had unprecedented access from the trip to Paris before the season, the preseason, the regular season, the playoffs, behind the scenes, every step of the way, all the way through. And then at the end, they had to give all of those tapes to Michael Jordan, and couldn't do anything. And he had them locked away and would not release the rights for 20 some odd years. And then finally, they were able to convince him to release it this year. But I found that really interesting. You know, no one has that type of access to that era at all. And they have really unprecedented 500 hours of footage.
And think about the timing. There's nothing else on.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
That's when you release this.
Yeah, that's why they moved it up. Yeah, because it was going to be, I think, June or July.
Would you watch the man, when we're all in agreement?
By the way, let me drop one more. David Halberstam wrote a book on Jordan, and I cannot remember the name of it. But his book on Jordan and the way basketball changed with Jordan is a fascinating read as well.
You know, I'm gonna push back on that just a hair. When I was in college, a long time ago, I used to go to practice once in a while because I love basketball, obviously. And Digger was a hell of a practice coach. I mean, as much as he turned into kind of a weird duck, but he would have these colleges and they would show. He would walk through. They were playing Ohio State, and he was walking through these screens. And they had some guy, some white guy, Halverson or someplace. Some guy he was their shooter, and they would do these one and two person screens just to get this guy open. It was all about getting him the ball just as he got there, and then he had a quick release and up he'd go. He didn't do squat in the pros or anything, but I watched one of the games on YouTube where Jordan scored like 60 points or something, and I was stunned that out of the 60, there were probably 20 that were, you know, Jordan-esque, flying over five people and dunking the thing. The other 40 were almost exactly what Ohio State was doing for this guy. He'd come around, a double screen. They'd get him the ball. He had a quick release. He's obviously a big guy. Jumps, and like you said, Lou, immediately square to the basket, or Matty, whoever said that. But I'm saying that the team got him 2/3 of those points. Not got him, but they set him up. They worked for them.
They ran an offense.
They ran an offense,
like every team does.
But I don't see people doing that now for anybody. I
mean, now the offenses are way more complicated than they used to be.
Well, now how is it that you have everybody looking like every man for himself winging a three-point play? What am I missing?
Well, the offenses are just designed to shoot threes now, but they're still very complex. If you watch them, it's four out, one in. It's spacing, interchanging guys.
Well,
it's
maybe I just watched
very
the crummy
complicated.
Teams,
it's just, they shoot more threes now, so and that's not. And I don't disagree with you. That's not as pure and fun to watch. I've really enjoyed watching. Last night, for example, I watched the Lakers-Celtics championship from 2008 with when you had Kobe and that group versus Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce of the Celtics.
Yeah.
And the basketball, even then, just 10, 12 years ago, was much different than it is now, and I found it much more enjoyable.
You're watching metrics come into this, Matty. And so one of the things with metrics, and again, this goes back to that Battier article I referenced, one of the things that you see with the use of metrics is you see a defense that now works to frustrate all of that fluidity and careful, you know, shot placement. So now you've got guys saying, okay, 75% of the time I know this is going to happen, or this guy's more effective from here, or he's more effective moving to his left than his right, and they're going to block that off. So you've got a defensive adjustments going on right now that are breaking up that kind of fluid movement and fluid shooting that was such a pleasure to watch.
I tell you what, you listen to Stacy on the sidelines of the Bulls, all he talks about is, hey, that guy's got to see that pass and come cover this guy. All he talks about is people missing assignments the whole game and not even
being aware. Well, the Bulls are horrible. They're bottom five team in the organization. You don't want to learn basketball watching the Bulls, I can tell you that.
Well, speaking of which, what's the lineup now? Who's in charge?
They hired, of course, it's going to take me several months to figure out how to pronounce his last name, but Arturo, the Denver, former Denver general manager, who did a really nice job building a very good Nuggets team without, you know, a star player. They hired him to run the team now. He's the general manager.
So where's Pax?
Paxson is in a you know, like a advisory role. You know, he has some sort of big title of senior vice president of basketball operations or something, but he will not be in, like, in day-to-day contact with the team and will not make final personnel decisions. And then Garth Foreman is fired, and he's out.
The one part about this thing, and I know, Lou, I wanted to ask you really a minute or so, that whole thing with Scottie's contract. He signed that contract because he had two people in his family in a wheelchair. Somewhere along the line, I think Reinsdorf could have bent on that.
Oh, I'm absolutely. I mean, as much as they want this thing, seems to villainize Jerry Krause, the guy that ultimately had control over that arrangement was Reinsdorf.
Oh, sure.
But yeah. but I will tell you that the mentality of ownership in the '90s, especially with regard to things like basketball and football and baseball with these contracts, was that, hey, you signed the deal. If you sign the deal, that's what we're doing. And the idea that you would come in and alter a contract like that was anathema to, there's a good Catholic term, anathema to,
well,
the ownership. And
how many years into
that lack of flexibility was the reason.
Yeah, but how many years did it take before they threw out Magic Johnson's 25-year deal? Could have been 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I mean, I think that's what, you're exactly right that Reinsdorf's the guy that had control over this and could have fixed it and should have fixed it.
Yeah.
There was no reason not to fix it except some kind of general sanctity of contract principle that was prevalent in the ownership at that point.
Well, it's an ideal. What do you mean the lady
that's,
from
that's penny wise, pound foolish.
What do you think of your friend from Las Vegas, the mayor, saying, you said you'd have tests, you don't, you said you'd have a vaccine, you don't. You don't have any control over this thing. You don't know what you're doing. Let's open back up or something along those lines.
Who said we'd have a vaccine?
I must have heard, Matty, if you listen to the stuff I listen to all
by
day
April?
Long. Every rich
person. I never heard anything, anybody saying anything about a vaccine inside 12 months.
Gates, every single rich person who's been on there said, you got to keep all these sick people away from me. We'll have a vaccine in a year and I'll still be okay.
Well, yeah, in a year maybe, but yeah.
In a year. And we're not going to, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't smallpox and it isn't Ebola. We're not going to keep people separated from each other for a year. Again, the goal of this program is to manage the hospital workload.
Right.
We are not going to stop people. People who are going to die are going to die if they get the disease, whether they get it this month or next month.
Matty, can I have 30 more seconds? I forgot to. I need to.
Sure.
Well, I got one of my buddies from Notre Dame. And you know what, Lou? I'm a firm believer that anytime there's a crisis, people find a way to do whatever they feel like doing anyway. It has nothing to do with the crisis. And I know that when I've had parents in nursing, my stepfather, and everybody needs an advocate. And the more you visit, the better they get treated. And I'm just saying, I don't care if you work for a nursing home or not, that's the truth. I get an email from one of my buddies, his grandmother is in a nursing home in Florida. They somehow managed to get the priest to get in there and give her last rites. No family member, all the way through the death spiral, is allowed in the door. You know what, Lou? That sucks. There has to be a room in that place where you can go see your loved one. That's inhumane. I don't care what that.
I understand what you're saying, but that population is so vulnerable.
I understand.
And the liability issues are overwhelming.
Lou, the people who spread those diseases around were not you and me. They were people who in a lot of cases, not all the time, were people who moonlighted there from hospitals and brought the disease in.
Look at that super spreader article that I just said or just referenced for Matty. You'll get a pretty good.
I'm just saying, Lou. I understand. You need to find a way, whether it's a negative pressure room, whether it's outside, whether it's 40 feet away.
Chief, it doesn't. The scary thing is you can't, because the asymptomatic people are spreading this. You can't tell who's got it unless you've got some kind of instantaneous test that you can give somebody when they walk in the door. And that's the only way you're going to allow advising these homes, I would allow somebody in.
Well, what I'm saying is you can't say your mom's going downhill, she's got about 30 days to live, forget about ever seeing her again. You cannot do that to people.
Well,
they've got to find a way.
They are doing that because if they let you in and you contaminate somebody and then it gets loose in that facility, the facility gets sued into oblivion.
And it just happens to drop into the fact they don't want you there in the first place because they don't want you seeing what you're doing. They're doing anyway now, and what the level of care is that you're paying for.
I can't argue with that because I don't know, but I do know that if they don't control access like this, their liability goes crazy, and their insurance company says, "Hey, you're on your own."
I understand. I'm just saying, whatever. We'll talk about this next week. S&P futures now down 75 cents. We're right on the flat line here today. Nasdaq futures up 2. Come back with Mr. Safari Hamzy.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Farry Hamzy. We'll see this. The futures now down 250. NASDAQ futures down 450. Dow futures down 46. Individual stocks. Nothing. I got Apple down $1.20. I've got Microsoft down 71 cents. United Healthcare down 2. They were up a bunch yesterday. So nothing crazy. We've got oil across the board up about 250 and whatever respective month contract you're talking about, which gets you $14 this month out to like 30 by the end of the year. So, Farry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
All right. So I understand you were short some of the oil contracts the other day and you bought them back at, you put in a bid at zero, and now you're pissed they traded minus 30.
Not true. Here's the problem. Your source is probably a Trumpkin, or Hannity, or Ingram. Just like what they did with that malaria drug.
What if I told you my source was...
I don't trade much of crude, but I do watch it. I do understand what it does to S&P. And so, but I have a couple of guys who are... You won't believe this. I mean, talk about... I mean, I guess you have a different gradation of being a Trumpkin, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Different,
oh, yeah,
you know, levels. These guys should be like admirals. These guys were buying drillers 2 weeks ago,
what?
Like Matador.
What?
Now their head is being handed to them. Yeah, because at these prices with no storage, why would a Wildcat driller would have any value? The stock was at 50. They're buying that one or two, saying, "God, we're good." They were all the way up to three, and they really loaded up. Guess where it is now? So it's sad. Now the question is, what do I do now? I have no clue. Why would you be... Listen, Chevron may have to write down their assets. The balance sheet would change because these are the huge multinational up and down the, you know, the vertical chain of the downstream, upstream, integrated oil. A lot of their assets are underground. This is the value of proven reserves. Well, yes, we're not saying the reserves are not real. The reserves are true, but they have very little value.
Well, that's what...
But, you know, let me finish one more thing, and then the CLK-20, okay, the contract that just expired, it settled at $4. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Final settlement 2 days ago was $4. Boom, finished, finito. Zero volume, no more trading. At Ras Al Khaimah, which is the export port for the Saudis, they won't give you any fuel at that cost. They can't make money. Their cost is $8. Forget social costs. Forget government budget. I'm talking about just drilling, getting it out to Ras Al Khaimah. FOB Ras Al Khaimah is $8. We're offering you Cushing, Oklahoma, FOB Cushing, Oklahoma at $4. Which one do you think people are going to go and get it? So that's why I said on Twitter to MBS and Putin, start drinking it. Because there's no storage left.
No,
unless
no,
you have extra pool in your backyard, maybe I could ship some there.
It's kind of stunning to me, Farhan. I don't want to. I'll be the first one to admit, I've never seen anything like this before.
And so
it's hard for me to handicap it. But I will say, after listening to the talking half of nincompoops all day, not individually, but just making believe you know something about something that nobody's ever seen before. I mean, it's hard to.
Sure.
But how do you? The idea that they'll say, well, we've got this cleaned up, the front contract is bouncing back. I'm going to say, look out the friggin' window. The streets are deserted. Look in the air. There's half as many planes. There's no cruise ship.
Look at L.A. L.A. has never had air this clean.
Well, probably
50 years.
We had a guest on the other day, and they were talking about, it's like, 2008, once this happened, we started going forward, and everything was a buy, and I said, 2008. Once we made it past the first month or so, and the money market funds didn't go under, and those kinds of things, and AIG got saved. Every day to some incremental event got better than the day before. Every day you look out the window and nobody's driving. We're talking about 100 million barrels of oil that are being produced a day, or were, that were being used, and now we're still producing 100 million minus something, maybe minus 8 or 10, and we're using 50 or 60. We're not, every single day this is getting worse, not better. Or where am I missing? Am I right or wrong? I mean, I don't.
Listen, nothing is getting better. What it's saying is the underlying economy is so weak, and the rascals were fired to be our leaders, quote unquote. One of them is the supreme leaders. The same like you had other supreme leaders out there. They cannot figure this out. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of cheating. There's about back-pocketing stuff. You know, Jared just got an $800 million loan. Jared doesn't need a loan. From this PPP stuff or whatever. Whatever it is that Treasury did, $800 million to his company. They're feeding their own. Okay?
Well, sure.
Then Ruth's Chris, this other one, who was it? Harvard. And then Princeton came out and said, this money is not for us. This is for people in trouble. We're not in trouble. We're second largest endowment. We were not touching anything like that. They, before even got near it, they stopped. So here's the issue. I think the confidence. Confidence is gone, eroded. And then we have this stupid show on in the evenings, and you see how the market reacts, called, what do you call it? COVID-19 briefing, and it's just, I think I'm in like North Korea.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
There's no confidence. And look how it sells. The moment, I mean, last night, for example, I mean, you pick it at random. I don't care which day. Look at ESNNQ, watch the questions. Look at the answer, look at the market. I mean, this is not a way to solve this problem. And it's not going to get resolved until November 3rd.
Well, I mean, you think, what's going to resolve anything there? What's Biden going to do any different?
He'll be booted out. There's no, Max Michael, is impossible for him to come back. He'll be booted out, and we have to clean up the crap he left in the January 20th.
Well, this Michigan governor and the Pennsylvania governor are throwing their states to Trump.
They're doing what I'm saying?
They're throwing their states to Trump with this incredible lockdown stuff they got going. They're not listening to people saying.
We shall see.
Well, I'm saying as of now, this is obviously an
ever-changing market. Nobody can win without independents. Independents are not going with them. Just look at the number of people who came into to voted on the primaries versus the 4 years ago. Tremendous volume. When volume comes in, the Republicans lose.
All I'm saying, Farhi, is that, I'm not a fan of the man at all.
No, I understand. You're smarter than that.
He's clearly not running against.
Come to our senses and fix this. Otherwise, can you imagine where we're going to be 4 years from now?
He's
and like three or four more COVID virus attacks?
He's not running against Washington or Solomon, for God's sake.
Oh, you're right about that.
Well, then. All right.
Right?
I'm sorry, Maddie. What did you say, Maddie?
I said he's right about that, at least. As much as I can't stand Trump, he's not running against great competition either, which makes me nervous.
Oh, I know. Of course. Yeah, of course. That's a sad part. That's a sad commentary on part of the nation as a whole, that this is the cream of the cream. This is it? Come on, guys.
Well, think of it.
Before Clinton, now Trump, next Biden, give me a break.
Yeah, but we have
part of it is nobody wants to be a politician. Really. Nobody with any decent track record and good head on their shoulder. Why want to be through the scrutiny?
Now that's an interesting thought.
But you get what you are, Farhi. I mean,
well, democracy, you get the voters get what they deserve because they voted. It's a democracy.
Well, we're talking.
Keep that in mind too.
Yeah, but we're talking about a government that we keep electing people that throw us into debt, lie to us by saying it's okay, and they keep saying things are going to get better, and somehow they'll pay it off. They don't. We're deep, deep in the hole. But look at your populace. They can't stop the credit cards. It doesn't matter what would happen. You won't pay your mortgage, but you're going to pay your Netflix, right, or your phone. I mean, the government is an absolute mirror image of the population. Not every person, but it absolutely is. And I don't care if you are George Washington or Solomon. If you weren't on, you're fired, or if you weren't on TV, if you aren't a celebrity, if people don't know who you are and by Twitter or by Facebook or whatever, I don't care who could run. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci could run. They say, look at this guy, he's got a beard, we don't want him. I mean, it has nothing to do with your talent and that position. The skill set, I mean, as I try and put it nicely, the skill set to win the job is so dramatically different than the skill set anybody with an intelligence wants in the job. It's light years difference to me. Look at who could win. Oprah, maybe, you know. I mean, we're talking about people, Mark Cuban, because everybody knows who the hell he is. I mean, we're talking,
these have no experience in governance.
But you
Mark
could,
Cuban was at the right place, right time.
I'm just saying.
$5,000. Made a billion from a college dormitory. You have no governance. You should teach us. When you have no governance experience,
it's
what's going to happen.
But you understand this coming from Chicago. You could be a brilliant man, a lawyer, whatever. I got news for you. You're not getting a vote for judge as the name Farhi Hamzy. Now, Farhi Ohamzy, you might get someplace.
Yeah, I know that. Again, coming to you, I go back. This is a sad commentary on the state of the nation. Here's what I know. When I came here 40 years ago, 45 years ago, this was a totally different nation. I'm totally disappointed. Remember, I'm a citizen by choice. You're a citizen by default. I don't think I'll be around much because this tune is changing.
Oh, totally.
In a very bad way, in the wrong direction, and very fast.
Well, look at the mayor here.
I'm just going to turn in my passport. I'm out of here. Well, give me internet. I sit in Gibraltar. I'll do my trades. And the market opens at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Well, look at the Chicago.
The market. Look and the NQs out of Chicago happens to be 2:30 on GMT. That's what Gibraltar is on, the GMT. I'll sit there. Forget about this crap.
Well,
this is nuts.
We have a mayor in Chicago. We had this election where there's 10 people on there. It was such a blur of people, nobody even cared. Nobody showed up. She ended up with 90,000 votes out of a place with 2.7 million people. Then she runs against, you know, another person, and one of them wins, right? And, okay, so she's here. She's not anywhere near anybody would have. I mean, she's been a, just very simply, and I'm not saying anything horrible about anybody's person. I never would.
Sure.
But you can't have people making these kinds of decisions that their entire life, and I'm not sure I speak about her entire life,
right.
you've been on the government dole. It's so easy to say, let's not have school when she doesn't have any kids, three kids yelling at her in the house. It's so easy to say, let's not have school for another 3 months, and we'll just pay all the teachers with money that nobody seems to have, and, you know, who the hell is, how's everybody not paying their taxes? I have no idea when you're not working. But it's so easy to make that decision when it's not you. Right? I'm getting paid to screw the rest of you people.
My take, if you don't mind me taking one second, that no one on this show for some reason has mentioned, do you really think states like Illinois that are broke want the economy shut down and want no tax revenue coming in? That makes no sense.
That's the problem in Florida, Maddie. You know, here we get, the state gets, because there's no zero income taxes, they get the money here from sales tax. Right? If you have no tourism, of course, they're up a little bit. You know, the hotels and foods are just a little up because of telling to tourism. That's why this guy, DeSantis, just don't want to do anything. That's like a Trump. And look at our numbers now. Numbers don't look good.
Idea that government leaders want the economy to crash and want no tax revenue to come in and want no one working makes no sense.
Maddie, it's
not true.
Well, okay, they can't print money like a federal government, right? They're in trouble. Now, I read last night that Moskovich is saying that the state should be given a right to file bankruptcy. If he throws that rope at him, that's not bad. You know, listen, at some point, we have to reset this clock.
Maddie, let me ask you this.
It's impossible.
Farrah, give me 1 second here. I'm going to ask you this, Maddie. I'll push back actually fairly hard. The state's been broke for a while. Have you noticed any change in their behavior since it's been broke?
Is that a question for me?
No, for me. They gave the teachers a big fat ass raise. They have, and what is on the amendment on this election? It's about giving more taxes. There's nothing on there about changing the pension law. They act the same way as when they had money.
But there is no taxes if no one's working.
But my point is, they have not changed their behavior at all since they've been broke. Why do you think they're going to change their behavior now? Because they're even more broke. They're going to act in their own best interest. And they're convinced that if Jay wins this graduated income tax, they're going to grab the money out of the hide of who they think are the rich people. They're convinced that they're going to be able to get this money.
Well, also, Maddie, now we have much higher rate of services required.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not taking any money at government level. They're not taking any money in. And look what they got to put out on an emergency basis, 24/7. It's not double time or triple time. This is war. It's wartime, war prices, you know, war zone per diem.
I'm going to say
that's what they're facing.
If we come out of this well, Maddie, 2 years from now, your city taxes will be 50% higher, and your state of Illinois tax, instead of being, what is it, 3.5 or whatever, is going to be 8.
Yeah.
They think every single...
That 2 or 3 weeks, two or three months, we set our ass did nothing, because miraculously it's going to go away, it's going to haunt us.
Because
you think the war in Iraq was expensive? Hold on. You don't know how to add numbers.
Because you, Maddie, and your lovely bride, that money shouldn't be yours. It should be theirs, because they don't know what to do with it more than you do.
No, I just think there's a fundamental disconnect between the federal government and the state governments and the local governments,
oh, sure,
which are shut down across the country with this idea.
Of course, because federal government can print.
My point is I know they're lying to me about something, but I don't know what it is.
Everything.
Because
try everything.
Because it doesn't make any sense to shut down the economy because that hurts them just as much as it hurts us.
Well,
so it must be either this COVID must be much worse than we think it is.
The COVID, no, first of all, nobody wanted, and by the way, I would have done the same thing as late as they were, and I mentioned that several times. I'm not always fighting you on this. The last thing you needed was the ambulances pulling up at hospitals and not being able to get them in. So you needed to do something to make sure that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, in a shutdown, yeah. The deaths are still about 2,000 a day in the U.S.
But I'm saying the disease is that powerful. I don't think, right now, God couldn't stop it. I don't think.
And I'm completely in agreement that we need a reasonable path to returning back to normal. But this idea that the government wants the economy to crash just doesn't make sense.
But
the government does not want the economy to crash because it's they lose out too.
Well, you're kind of missing the point. Individual people get more concerned about them being in power to tell you what to do. I mean, when Lori goes for a walk with her partner, I guarantee you they're not 6 feet apart. And she's going to say, well, gee, it's... Why should we be? We live in the same house. We're girlfriends or whatever. Or man and wife or woman and wife.
The mandate is you don't need to be 6 feet apart with the people you live with because that doesn't make sense.
Well, because you're already infecting people at home. But I'm saying, but when you take a picture of the lakefront and see 20 such couples and say they're way too close together and close the lakefront, that's essentially what happened.
Well, yeah, hundreds of people from all different homes were close together, and that's probably not wise. Now, I agree with you. I don't think you need to close the parks and the lakefront. I think that's an overreaction.
Can you tell me out of... The amount of, yeah, Fari, Maddie and I will keep fighting after we
it's
let you go.
It's 25 after, Fari, yeah.
No,
so we'll let you fly.
No, that's okay, I understand.
So, Fari, what's the number going to be today?
The discourse is okay.
What's the number going to be today, over 4? So that puts, what, 25 million people out of work?
I'm expecting around 4 to 5, yeah. That's what I'm expecting. I think it's going to continue. The problem I think we're having is really capacity to process these claims. All these websites are crashing. So it doesn't mean that's what the level is. It's just there's a backlog. People even can't get in. So the decisions can't report it.
Well, you can't... I mean, I know Maddie will disagree with this, but you know what? Call the ward office in Chicago, those people love being home getting paid. City clerk's office...
regular working people love getting paid for not doing anything. There's no doubt about
it. Yeah, exactly.
So would I. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the decision to kill the economy.
Yeah.
No one wants to make that decision.
No, but right now, Maddie,
so they're doing it for... They have information that either they're not telling us...
Yes.
Or this is much worse than you know, regular people are realizing.
Yes,
and we're all going to pay for it.
I'm going to leave you with two words because I got it right. Two words. I've said to you guys here and your wonderful audience for the last few weeks, maybe... 2-3 months, and that's what got me on this side. That's what got me to do what I did. I went massively short. Two words. Chemical reagents, when CDC tells you they don't have enough, that means you have no testing. No testing, there's no visibility. We don't know what we're doing.
They don't know anymore than they did 8 weeks
ago. Harvard Medical is saying.
Yeah.
What level we should be testing. We are flying blind in the fog.
And have been, the whole way.
All of this is charade.
All right, Fari, take care of yourself. Thank
you. We'll talk.
Yep.
Stay safe. Thank you.
But, maybe what I'm saying, how are you going to get with the message the mayor's saying that she's given everybody? It's just nothing but danger. I want to know one person that broke the 6-foot thing by a half a foot and infected somebody walking by him. I can't say there's been
you
nobody.
You and I both know that's not the point. So
I'm
not going to waste my time arguing about that. Five and a half and 6 feet.
All right. So what's going to happen for Lori Lightfoot to be able to tell the people in the city clerk's office to get your ass back to work? Is it zero chance of getting it? 10%? 15%?
It's a great question, and I don't know the answer, but those are the conversations that we need to be having. It doesn't need to be the crazy, we have to shut down until we have a vaccine, which is going to be a year or 18 months. That's insane and impossible. Or never. That's insane and impossible. I think anyone recognizes that. It's also insane to, say that it's a hoax and that it's, you know, it's nothing and everyone should be out there and let's all protest together without masks in big groups of hundreds or thousands and spread it, you know, in our communities even more. That's insane too.
And in some ways it's the most dangerous disease we've ever seen.
Right. So why can't we have intelligent conversations in the middle and say, okay, we realize this is serious. We realize this is dangerous. Let's put together a strategy to, try to go back to work in phases where, you know, where it's lesser population density, jobs that maybe you can have a little bit more spacing, things like that. And let's be reasonable and try to have the conversation from both sides that yes, we need to return to work and yes, we need to be safe while we're doing it. Why am I not hearing that?
Because
it's always one crazy on one and one crazy on the other.
Because nobody's willing to tell people that if I'm sending 100,000 people back to work, we're going to see a little bump up in the numbers because we're going to.
Of course we will.
But nobody's willing to say that. And they're not
Here's what I would do. I would say, okay, starting you know, 2 weeks from now or next week or 6 weeks from now, whatever the date is, if you have a job where you're able to work from home, you're going to continue to work from home indefinitely. Okay, that whether that's, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. If you have a job where you need to come into work, then we're going to start doing it in phases where half the office comes in, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The other half comes in Tuesday, Thursday, and then the weeks switch the following week. And we'll do it in phases and see if we can kind of keep it separated and keep it slow and keep the curve level, but return to work. And then we're going to start opening up, you know, stores, but we advise you to wear a mask when you go in the store. But it's up to the store owner. If they want to make you wear a mask, that's up to them. If they don't, you know, that's up to them. And same with bars and restaurants. Let's cut back, you know, if the normal maximum occupancy in a bar is 50, let's make it, you know, 20 for a while or something. I mean, can't we have common sense conversations
because
to ease back into it?
We've got people so afraid and you become a slave to your policy beforehand, man. That's the problem. You become a slave to what you said last week, especially with the tweet idiots in the world jumping all over everybody. Because you and I both are in agreement that you got to watch your hospitalizations. And as long as you have beds available, even though there's going to be a few more people than last week, we know that once you get a few more people on the subway, as long as it doesn't challenge your medical thing to a point where you got ambulances piled up like oil's piled up in a pipeline, we can't have that. We all agree on that. You can't have that, right? So we need to bump it up a little bit of time and just see how much worse it gets. It may not get that much worse than people staying at home.
By the way, jobless claims is 4.4 million.
All right, so where does that put us, for God's sake? That's, I guess it's better than... Manny, can you even imagine 25 million people out of work? For God's sake. I mean, it's unbelievable. By the way, you're the one who told me, we'll talk about it after the break, that people are no longer just working from home. They're getting canned, right?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or furloughed.
Yeah, SP Futures up 850 now because we must have thought these numbers were going to be worse. NASDAQ Futures up 26. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar.
To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Weber. David Andelman in a second. SP Futures up 7. NASDAQ Futures up 24. Dow Futures are down, I guess down 35. I don't think it's really down 35. I think it's just a late quote. Well, we do have Walmart down $1.80. Not much movement really anywhere else. 3M down $1.10. CYX, it's Chevron Texaco, up 140. All right, so around the rest of the world, we've got Europe DAX down 26.2%. FTSE down 1. Call that flat. Deck round up 10.2, so light and variable over there like the wind. Nikkei up 291, 1.5%. Shanghai down 5, call that flat. Hang Seng up 83.3%. Bonds, we're at 0.62%. Pretty much right, been there for a while. Bund minus 0.42, that's fairly steady as well. Japan almost right on the zero line, that's been there as well. Well, I can't give you one number anymore in this new world we're living in. I gotta give you the NYMEX, the CME. Virtually up 2-something across the board, which brings the June contract to 14.23, July to 20, September 25, and all the way out to next January over 30. So, again, the contango is huge in there. If you want to buy oil for the long term, you got to pay up for it because people think things are going to be different out there. The only other thing here, we have gold rallying again today. We found out how much. Gold's only up 14. It was up 20-something earlier. 17.52. Silver up 29 cents. Copper up 2 cents, 231. Maybe we got forced traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues to report. It's been quiet all morning. No accidents, no stalls, no delays. So enjoy a nice, quiet commute. Weather today, lots of clouds, some rain in the forecast on and off throughout the day. Not quite as windy and blustery as yesterday, but similar temperature as far as the highs are concerned, though it'll feel a bit warmer as we'll reach a high of 53, but the real feel will actually be around 53 instead of the low 40s like it felt like yesterday. Right now, it is overcast and 48 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 98 today. Right now, it's clear and 66. In sports, the NFL draft kicks off tonight with the first round being televised on ESPN. Of course, all teams will be drafting remotely. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock at number one. They're expected to take star quarterback Joe Burrow out of LSU with the number one pick. The Cardinals have the number 8 overall pick in the first round, so they'll fill a need there. They do not have a second-round pick. The Bears will not draft tonight because they have no first-round picks. They'll have 2 second-round picks on Friday night, number 43 and number 50, and then the draft concludes with rounds 3 through 7 on Saturday. Lastly, and I didn't mention this in hour one, but we absolutely should, legendary Notre Dame basketball coach Muffet McGraw Chief has decided to retire.
What do you suppose that went on there?
I don't know if she was just done or what, but...
Well, they had a crummy season going for the first time ever because they lost 6 people to the draft last year.
The legendary Hall of Fame coach retired yesterday. She went 9-0-5 and 272 over 32 seasons at Notre Dame. 9 Final Fours, a couple of national championships.
She an absolute legend for sure. And apparently former player and assistant, is it Neil Ivey?
Yeah.
Who was a point guard on McGraw's first championship team, is planning to take over for her. And she was actually an assistant coach in the NBA last year for the Memphis Grizzlies.
She's real good.
So she'll take over beginning right away and then into next season.
Chief. She won with, who was the center, Ruth Riley?
I think that's right.
First time?
Yeah.
She was a hell of a point guard. She's real good. Tough as nails. Anyway, she'll be a good coach. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
Here's one for you. And I don't want to scare anybody. I'm just saying, Maddie, you put this in the just saying column. We have now lost as many jobs as we've created since the Great Recession. And the market is what? Four times higher? Three times higher? Just saying, David. Just saying. Not saying.
Well, but hey, who could have thought that, you know, say in November of 2019, before the Chinese let on that they had, you know, symptoms of this sometime in December, that we'd have this kind of pandemic that would close down the economy. And I mean, these jobs, I mean, when you say lost, yes, some will not come back. I'm certain that if you're a usher in a movie theater, that you may never have that job again. But one, you will find another job because you're 25 years old. And two, this is, you know, 2-3 months. It doesn't mean that those jobs are gone forever.
I've been in a movie theater so long, and they still have ushered. Remember they were, how long has Andy Frame been gone? Man, you don't even remember those guys were?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Andy
Frame. Didn't they have those even at, like, Cubs and Sox Park for a while?
They were a company that provided ushers. So if you went to the movie theater, there was a guy in his blue uniform, and he was an Andy Frame guy, and a Andy Frame guy's at the Bulls game, I think at the Bulls games. Every event you went to, where Andy Frame was the usher place. And then they just, I don't know what happened to them. They just, hey, you say we have a question about state bankruptcy?
Yeah, looks like, let me pull that up real quick. Joe Molesky writes in, if the states go bankrupt, does that relieve them of their pension obligations?
The answer is, right now they cannot go bankrupt, which means they cannot, put this way, divorce yourself in your mind, okay? A state cannot go bankrupt, but it can go broke, right?
Yeah, bankruptcy, I don't think is allowed.
Bankruptcy
to release them of their obligations.
Bankruptcy is a federal process from the bankruptcy code that allows you to use a bankruptcy court. State can currently not use that process, so they cannot, quote, go bankrupt. It does not mean that they cannot go broke, that the check you get from the state bounces. That can, I won't say easily happen, but that can happen. So divorce yourself. A person, if he goes broke, he may or may not declare bankruptcy. They're two separate things, and that's one of the problems. Now, here I'm reading this from, I don't know, one of these sites, but it seems like they're fairly... however, in the mid-1800s, a number of states got in financial trouble from financing infrastructure. Duh. Two of those states defaulted and repudiated their debts, and they just said, we ain't paying you. Get the hell out of here. So, okay, that's one possibility. The national government took some debts of states after the Revolutionary War. I don't know if that's going to happen. 2009, California had a budget crisis and paid its contractors and other obligations with IOUs. So they just sort of used the term "scrit," right? So what you could use that for is what, credits for taxes or something? I don't know what you could use that for. That's still in some of the courts. Okay, whether they could do that or not. The measures a state could undertake are these as follows. Seek relief from Congress. You're in amending the bankruptcy code and assumption of debt. I don't see that coming. Issue temporary securities involuntarily to creditors and employees. In other words, Maddie Weber's firm, the state owes your firm $50 million. By the way, here's $50 million in state bonds. Knock yourself out. Hopefully it'll pay you back, but I wouldn't count on it. Right? That's one way. Threaten to repudiate certain contracts or debts in order to negotiate better deals. You think I owe you $50 million, you better make it $35 million or I'm not paying you squat. Right? That's a way. Or actually just say, that $50 million, I don't owe you a stinking thing. Actually repudiate their debt. So those would be the four mechanisms, Matty. Which one do you like the best?
So what I like as an Illinois resident is I would like Illinois to say, okay, we're going to pay you X amount percentage over the next period of time, and then we're done.
To what? To who?
To all of your pension liabilities.
Well, see, now that all that happened, that's what I mentioned earlier, which I honestly, don't take this wrong, I didn't expect you to get. Those are the nuances that you hammer out in the bankruptcy court.
Right.
Which creditor gets what? Your payroll people are going to get 80 cents on the buck. The creditor that got here last month is going to get 70 cents. That's all that happens in the bankruptcy court. You know what I'm saying? By the states not being able to use that process, they can't have that. They're not going to have a judge. They're not going to have what happened if you or I or your firm or PTI or somebody declared bankruptcy. That's the process you go through. The state cannot do that. So you're left out in the cold using one of these other things. I just don't owe you. Take this, take that. You go to the federal government, and Mnuchin says, get out of here if you're in Illinois, if you voted the wrong way. There's a slam. But I'm saying they're basically cast adrift is what I'm saying.
I get it. Yeah, no, it makes sense. But at some point, you have to draw a line in the sand, even if you don't have the courts behind you. And I don't know if you can hold a vote on it, a statewide vote or
well,
what.
Let me help you. If the checks don't cash for how many years?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if you can say, hey, by this date, the checks are not going to cash. So here's the deal. We can either wait till that date, and then we're just you're done and you're out.
Well, what do you,
totally, or we can pay you, you know, 60 cents on the dollar,
what do you
80
think,
cents on the dollar, whatever.
What do you think the state of Illinois has been doing for the last decade and a half?
Nothing, as far as I can tell.
No. They're a cash basis state. You know what that means?
Not entirely.
All right. There's two ways to do accounting. One is cash basis, one's accrual basis. One is, if I owe the phone company for the line we send out every morning $80, I can either say, oh, it's the end of April. I got the bill in April. I owe the phone company $80. I put I have a liability to the phone company for $80, and I have whatever the other side of that transaction is. But so it's in my income.
I always thought it was just the difference between when it's paid, recognize it.
If you accrue it, it's called accrual accounting. You can do that. If you can say it's not a bill until I write it out. In other words, until the day I write them the check, it's not an expense. That's a cash basis accounting. So what the states have been doing, they have all these bills. Okay, they pile up. You don't get paid for 6 months. And all of a sudden, the next year's budget comes over, and all of a sudden, everybody gets a check, whether you get it for 3 months instead of six or 2 months instead of... They've been doing that forever.
I see, okay.
So they've technically, if they were on an accrual basis, they've been broke forever. Well, not forever, but for a long time. But they do this cash screwing around. That's when the Republican lady went. She won the Republican gubernatorial thing, Christine Todd Whitman, and she was a Republican hero. All she did was take the state from accrual to cash and didn't pay anybody. She didn't save any money. But I mean, if the state had actually right now, if the Maddie and Chief, streetlight washing contract. They're just not paying us, but they're not. That's not on their budget until they pay us. You and I, like if you're a brokerage firm and you're doing this stuff for FINRA, you have to accrue everything. You can't say I got that bill in the drawer. I don't really have it, right? You have to accrue it. So there's a big difference in how the government makes other people behave and how they behave. Is that fair to say, David?
Yeah. But I mean, as far as the other thing, if as far as what the states can do, if the state chooses to repudiate and says, you know, see ya, or, you know, take 60 cents on the dollar, I mean, I don't really see, other than the court of law, what the difference is. I mean, if I go to bankruptcy court, you know, with tax research and go through that situation, they'll either say there's one chapter that says, you know, fine, you're out of business, but you don't have to pay. Or the other one is you can operate in bankruptcy, but there's a plan to pay off at whatever, at 60 cents on the dollar.
The difference is,
so
David,
the state just takes it in their power and just does it.
Well, no,
I don't see the difference.
The difference is that in one case, there is a room to go to called the bankruptcy court. There is a guy in charge in a room called the judge. And he makes the decision versus the state saying, hey, I owe Dax Research $100.
They become the bankruptcy court.
Well, but then you can challenge it. You can certainly sue them and say, "What the hell? You paid your buddy 100 cents, and I got 50."
Right. No, I get it.
I mean, in California, like this thing says, it's still in court from 2009. So it would be amazingly sloppy to do it that way. Let's put it that way.
Right, right.
So what we do now is we just don't pay anybody. And then we go even, so what you should be able to do, Maddie, is factor those receivables. The state owes me $100. I should go to the bank, and the bank should say, okay, here's $98, and I'll sit around and wait for the other two, because they owe you in 30 days. But they won't even do that. They won't even assign the receivables to people. It's horrible. So they're almost broke. And a light at the end of the tunnel for your buddy Jay is this amendment that's allowing them to do more on the taxes. It won't be a flat tax. There's no maximum on it that I know of. It might be 20%. Who the hell knows? I mean, that's the last thing you want to do is give this guy unlimited taxing authority. I mean, for God's sake. All right, David, how do you? I mean, I was making somewhat of a joke and the market vis-a-vis the, and I know you're, very technically oriented. I mean, the fact is, that's a sobering statement that we have as many people out of work now as we did in 2009 and the market's three times higher. Just like the guy Dan was listening to on Bloomberg the other day, is a rich guy, one of our billionaires, well, there's a few less now. Said the market's down 15% and society's down way more than that. He goes, just think about it. Now, I'm not saying that means we should go sell or buy or whatever, but it is something that when you think about, makes you pause, shall we say.
No question. I mean, our earnings estimates, they were at $170 for the S&P 500, and now an optimistic guess is $130 for this year. And, if you're at 2,800, or 2,850, then, you're looking at a multiple of 22, and chances are the 130 won't even be realized. And so you say, what are you doing up here? And so then you have to say, well, the market's pricing in 2021 where maybe, things really were back, maybe, or maybe they're looking out to 2022. And that's something that nobody really knows, and it probably is variable. At times the market, if it gets a surprise, like when the tariffs first came on and that kind of thing, it's gone from 15% to 25% because I'm, president and I'm doing a presidential executive order, whatever, it'll price in what it learns that day. But most other days, if there's nothing that's, shocking the market, positive or negative, it may go out 9 months, it may go out 14 months, or if there's, basically a catastrophe like what we've had now, it may go out and say, hey, yeah, it's really crappy now. Those 20 million people that, are out of work, they're on Etsy and Shopify creating businesses and whatever, so even though they're claiming money for the PPP, they do have an income because they've set up businesses at home. And, they will get their job at the restaurant back, in mid-June or July or whenever that is. And, at some point, people are going to get on airplanes and maybe even cruises. Maybe that's not till 2022, but at some time. So what I'm alluding to is we don't know the time period that the market is trying to forward price into some optimism. Because if it isn't that, then there's no question we don't belong at these levels. We belong lower.
Here's the difference in my mind, David. And please, please talk me out of this, you and Maddie. Because it when you think of it this way, it is not something you want to see. Every single time, and you and I have been together doing this for a while, that there's been these kind of issues, and we were in the business, not together, but for a real long time, long-term capital, there was crash of 87. But once you got
2008, 2009.
Yeah, but once you got past these things, once the money markets didn't go under, they were somewhat wounded, all right, obviously, and people were afraid, and people were laid off. But it seemed like once you passed a month or two, every single day, I wasn't smart enough, you weren't smart enough, nobody was to say, okay, where exactly are we going to be in 12 months? But everybody would say somewhat better, either a little bit better, a lot better, whatever. And the market does that. It discounts all that. I've never in my lifetime that I've read, maybe somewhere early in the Depression, and this particular thing, we might get a little better news on the virus today or this week. We obviously are doing better news than 2 weeks ago. I've never seen anything. The market and the talking heads can talk all they want, David, about a year from now. But every single day right now gets worse. I've never seen that before. I'll use their name because I love them. The Tripoli Tap, every single day that people aren't in there, there's less chance they're going to pay this month's rent. And every which means the guy who's paying the mortgage on the building, there's less of a chance every single day he's going to get that to the bank, and the bank's going to get it. Now the bank's going to foreclose, they're going to let this guy slide for 3 months. I don't know that, David. But somewhere, right now, it's not like we're coming out of the bottom of the lake, and it's just a question of how far before we make it to shore. We haven't even hit the bottom. And we have
I'm not trying to talk you out of your theory, because I don't think what you're talking about can be disputed. It's fact. That said, I think that if you take a step back and not look at Tripoli Tap, or we have a mom and pop, you know, little restaurant called Rhapsody, where it's, you know, virtually all immigrants and it's family, and this one's supporting that one and that one's supporting the other one, and my partner said this morning we should just go by there and see if they have a carry out, because you know these people, you know, they weren't doing that well to begin with. They only served breakfast and lunch, and we wonder if, you know, they're surviving or literally they're gone. But I think what you have to basically look at, and perhaps what the market's looking at, is there's only a few answers. One is that the denominator of fatalities to tests, the denominator is going to get larger. As we get more tests, instead of showing 3 or 4 or even 5% fatality rates, it is going to drop to about 1. No virus in history, even the Spanish flu, you know, killed this kind of percentage of people, I don't believe. Maybe Spanish flu, certainly no other. So that's one thing. We just need more and more and more and more tests, and maybe when somebody's going to go on an airline, we have to have the swab and the thermometer right then and there, and ultraviolet inside, you know, to make sure that, you know, people are safe when they go on that airplane. That's one thing. Tests, more tests, antibodies, plasma, everything. Second thing is, you know, you got hundreds of companies and labs and whatever and medical institutions, you know, whatever, working on therapeutics. And that will probably come soon, a lot sooner than, you know, vaccination. So how do we treat these people when we test 100 million people and find out that the number of cases, you know, are not 300,000, but they're 3 million, but a lot more people are surviving? So then it's therapy. And then finally, you know, bend the laws or do an emergency, you know, for life necessity or whatever, so that instead of having the ultimate vaccine or the cocktail of drugs that, you know, prevent people from getting this when it rises up again, and it will, you know, instead of saying, well, it's going to be 3 years, well, maybe it can be 10 months. And maybe you just find a way to do enough efficacy testing and blind thing with placebo and whatever to make sure that somehow, some way, if and when they discover that you can get that vaccination, so this, you know, horrendous situation is wiped out forever.
Well, we've got to get a little more common sense on the places that are shut down. It bugs the living crap out of me that I see a line down the block for Chipotle because we've scared people into thinking that somehow or another, if somebody hands it to me out the drive-through window, I'm safe. Yet if I walk in the front door and it's all sanitized as a Pepe's, I'm going to catch some disease. I mean, we've got people.
I agree with you.
And the idea that, you know, the David and Chief blue jeans store has to stay closed, yet Costco can sell blue jeans, just frost the living crap out of me. I mean,
I agree with you.
I mean, we need to have some common sense all along the line. But since we've managed to set up, and Kevin talked about the law that did it, since we now have, what do we have, several hundred dictators in this country? Every governor and every mayor of every town is now, you know, making their own rules. How did we get there, David? I just.
Well, I mean, Georgia. I mean, you know, let's open up the tattoo parlors and the swimming pools and the workout gyms and the salons. Every place that is high risk, we're going to open that up. And the governor says, and then the mayor of Atlanta that suddenly had a big outbreak says, "Sorry, not happening."
Well, yeah, I don't know who the hell I could have infected over in the pool by myself at my club, but. I don't know. With all that chlorine, I'm not so sure. Does this thing live in chlorine? I don't know if it does or not. All right, David, what are we thinking here? We want to go long oil?
Trading range, 2850 to 2875 in the futures. They poked one time to 2885, but that has been the huge range and halfway back and everything. There, you know, if you want to be speculative, you go short. If nothing else, you do hedge up there. And downside, you know, it could go to 2635 easily. That was the old resistance. That should be big support. So there you buy the market, you know, 200 handles lower or 170 handles lower than where we are, and 75, 85 handles above, you sell it. And in between, the market's just trying to figure it out.
All right, bud, thank you. S&P futures up 16, NASDAQ futures up 52. Again, those numbers were 4.4 million. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.